Good morning. And good morning to those. We're back online, are we? Are we back to live stream? Yeah. On Zoom? Oh, good. Right. So good morning to people on Zoom. I was about to say that and thought, am I right? Am I wrong? Well, more likely to be wrong, I think. Rob, I think you have some intimations for us.
Morning, everyone. And welcome to our service of worship this morning, especially any newcomers or visitors. And visitors may wish to sign the visitor's book, the walking group. The next outing is next Sunday, the 31st of August. I changed the published date, going to Lochower Meadows with the usual coffee stop. Meet in the church car park at 2 p.m. and you can contact Maureen Black for information. Coffee morning. Our next coffee morning will be on Saturday the 6th of September from 10 a.m. until 12 noon. A sheet is available in the vestibule for volunteer helpers to sign up. Cycling Club, C4. The next day outing is on Sunday the 20th of September, Saturday the 20th of September, visiting the Carse of Gowrie, and contact Derek if you're interested in joining with the C4. Holy Communion. We will celebrate Holy Communion on Sunday the 21st of September. This will be a joint service with Cooris and Torryburn Church in Cairnhill at our usual time of 11:30 a.m. On the same day, we will be taking part in the usual annual Doors Open Day. That's on the 21st of September as well, as I said. And if you want a copy of the booklets that show where all the doors are open in Fife, there's some sitting in the vestibule. Other intimations. There are further intimations on the printed sheet. This can be viewed on Facebook or downloaded from our website if you do not have a copy. Finally, here is a look at the order of service. Thank you.
Let's worship God. Let's sing to God's praise and glory in what is the 23rd Psalm, but we're singing the Stuart Townend version.
The Lord's my shepherd, I'll not want. He makes me lie in pastures green. He leads me by the still, still waters. His goodness restores my soul. You are with me and your rod.
Let's dedicate our offering. Almighty God, we present our gifts before you. Receive all that we offer of our time, talent, and money, and bless these gifts as they are used in the work of your church and to your glory through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. This morning, Rosemary is going to be leading us in prayer.
Let us come together in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, this morning we come before you with humble hearts, asking for the gift of childlike faith. Help us to trust you fully, just as a child trusts, without hesitation or doubt. Let our hearts be open to your love and your guidance, free of the burdens that come with overthinking and the adult worries that often cloud our vision. Grant us the ability to see the beauty and wonder in everyday things, to approach life with enthusiasm and excitement, knowing that you are our provider and our protector. Help us to depend on your wisdom, confident that you have laid out the perfect plan for each and every one of our lives. When challenges arise, let us face them with courage, buoyed by the assurance that your strength sustains us. May we always have the heart of a child, eager to learn, quick to forgive, and filled with endless hope. Loving Father, forgive us for losing so much of the wonder of the beautiful incarnation, and for sometimes becoming complacent about the death and resurrection of our Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ. Forgive us the many times when we have taken for granted all that you have done for us. Forgive us when we fail to live lives that reflect your love, as we come before you now in a moment of quietness with our own personal thoughts and to say sorry. Thank you, Father, Lord, for being our constant guide. With gratitude and trust, we place our hands in yours, ready to follow wherever you may lead us, as we now join together in saying the words that Jesus taught his disciples. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. Save us from the time of trial, and deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen.
Our theme this morning is to do with childlike faith. So I thought I would choose a good old-fashioned children's hymn, and I think this is one of Mrs. Cheshire's favourites. I'm just looking at her face because I know she loves Jesus Loves Me, this I know. But perhaps we should remember these words were also used by a man called Carol Barth, who is arguably the greatest of the 20th century theologians, certainly one of the great German theologians of the 20th century. And when he was asked in an interview how he would summarize his faith, the interviewer expected one of these intellectual literary gems. And it said that Barth replied, "Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so." So let's sing hymn number 564, Jesus Loves Me.
Jesus loves me.
At the beginning of the week, Karen and I received an invitation to join Sarah and her boys in a visit to the Edinburgh Festival Fringe. We went to see two shows aimed at children. One of these shows had the title 101 Ways to Annoy Your Parents and Other Really Old People. Jack and Lucas were obviously enjoying what was certainly funny and made all the better by fierce looks from their mum and their grandparents. And just for the avoidance of doubt, I did recognise my place as one of the really old people to be annoyed. Superficially, this was a comedy show designed to appeal to children, with humour at the expense of parents and grandparents. The show could be viewed as subversive, but actually, it was very cleverly the opposite. The presenter managed to give the idea that manners and good behaviour were a subversive activity. This contradiction was presented really well. The children were having a great time at the expense of the adults with them. I didn't expect, as an adult, to be so impressed with this show. There was a contradiction in there that the kids missed, because they were told that the best thing they could do to annoy the adults in their lives was for everything that happened to say, please, thank you, or sorry. And it was presented in the midst of all of this. I went away thinking, I'm going to say nothing about this to the boys because this is what I want them to pick up. There was something of this show that came to mind as I read the Bible passages from Psalm 63 and Mark chapter 10, because what we have here are contradictions. In the psalm attributed to David, he presents a clear contradiction. It is almost as if affliction is the cause of his rejoicing in the love of God and God's provision. The first verse is one of woe, and then he praises God. In our New Testament reading, we have what appear to be two distinct stories. We probably know both stories, but we wouldn't link them together. They seem to be two stories that Mark has picked up and put into the gospel. They're in Matthew and Luke as well, and also one after the other. The first is a distinct story about Jesus accepting and blessing children. The second story is a distinct story about a rich man asking what he must do to inherit eternal life. And I'm pretty certain I have preached on both, but probably not both together. At first glance, there's no connection. It's only when you look carefully at the verse that leads from one into the other. Mark expects us to read these stories together. There is purpose in the story of the rich man following the story of Jesus accepting and blessing children. And the link used by Mark in his narrative is a simple comment. As Jesus leaves that place, he is interrupted by the rich man. They're connected. Jesus makes an important point in the first story, and Mark wants us to know that that story is being emphasized by the second story. So we're now going to read those first verses of Psalm 63 and those two stories from Mark chapter 10. Marian is going to read for us.
The first reading is from Psalm
chapter 63. It's entitled The Love of God. You, God, are my God. Earnestly I seek you. I thirst for you. My whole being longs for you in a dry and parched land where there is no water. I have seen you in the sanctuary and beheld your power and your glory, because your love is better than life. My lips will glorify you. I will praise you as long as I live, and in your name I will lift up my hands. I will be satisfied, as with the richest of foods. With singing lips, my mouth will praise you. And from the New Testament, reading Mark chapter 10, childlike faith. People were bringing little children to Jesus for him to place his hands on them, but the disciples rebuked them. When Jesus saw this, he was indignant. He said to them, "Let the little children come to me, and do not hinder them, for the kingdom of God belongs to such as these. Truly, I tell you, anyone who will not receive the kingdom of God like a little child will never enter it." And he took the children in his arms, placed his hands on them, and blessed them. As Jesus started on his way, a man ran up to him and fell on his knees before him. "Good teacher," he asked, "what must I do to inherit eternal life?" "Why do you call me good?" Jesus answered. "No one is good except God alone. You know the commandments. You shall not murder. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. You shall not give false testimony. You shall not defraud. Honor your father and mother." "Teacher," he declared, "all these I have kept since I was a boy." Jesus looked at him and loved him. "One thing you lack," he said. "Go sell everything you have and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. Then come follow me." At this the man's face fell. He went away sad because he had great wealth. Jesus looked round and said to his disciples, "How hard it is for the rich to enter the kingdom of God." The disciples were amazed at his words. But Jesus said again, "Children, how hard it is to enter the kingdom of God. It is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for someone who is rich to enter the kingdom of God." The disciples were even more amazed and said to each other, "Who then can be saved?" Jesus looked at them and said, "With man this is impossible, but not with God. All things are possible with God." Amen.
Hymn 553, "Just As I Am Without One Plea."
Thank you.
in chapter 13 of 1 Corinthians, that great passage on love, Paul writes, "When I was a child, I talked like a child, I thought like a child, I reasoned like a child. When I became a man, I put childish ways behind me." There is a great difference between what we understand as childlike and childish. We understand childlike to mean the open honesty and trust of a child. We understand childish to mean a kind of self-centered petulance that goes with immature behavior. Looking for a quotation to go with the theme of the service, I was intrigued by the words of C.S. Lewis. He wrote, "When I became a man, I put away childish things, including the fear of childishness and the desire to be very grown up." My first instinct was to analyse the meaning of a statement that somehow I instinctively understood. I suppose trying to explain in an adult or intellectual way what Lewis meant by such a statement. Maybe even looking for Christian maturity in exactly the way that C.S. Lewis was not. In our reading from Mark's Gospel, we have the very familiar story of Jesus' disciples turning away parents who were seeking a blessing for their children. We are told that these are little children. What was meant by the words that were used, it meant children who were babies or toddlers. For the disciples, this is a mere distraction and not what Jesus should be wasting his time on. No doubt Jesus' response was remembered very well as a key part of his teaching. It does say he rebuked his disciples. He wasn't pleased. When Jesus saw this, he was indignant. That's what the disciples remember. They remember the rebuke and Jesus' words about receiving the kingdom of God like a little child. Immediately following on, we have a very different story, one we probably know equally well. The contrast we are meant to note is that this is exactly the kind of person Jesus should be spending time with. The man who falls at Jesus' feet is very carefully described as asking a genuine question about eternal life from the position of being a godly and good person. Not only does he have reverence for God's law, he clearly has what many would understand as God's blessing. Jesus recognizes that this is a good man with a genuine question. When he says that he's kept these laws since he was a boy, it says Jesus loved him. We might wonder if the disciples expected Jesus to reassure this man that he had God's blessing and that he was right with God. In that time, what you had in terms of wealth was seen as God's blessing, and this man is clearly a rich man who richly deserves God's blessing. What Jesus does is as shocking as taking time to bless little children. He asks this man to give up the one thing that stands between him and eternal life, between him and God. In a sense, this man could not receive the kingdom of God like a little child. Now, we could make the mistake of thinking that there was something selfish and money-centered in the response. But that would be to contradict what the man has said and what Jesus has recognized. This was a man who was trying to do his very best to live by God's law. What Jesus was asking was a childlike trust. With this in mind, it is much more likely that this was not selfishness, but responsibility that was a hindrance. Having wealth and position, he would have had lots of responsibilities. It's not so much the money, it's everything that goes with it. Now, love of money and material possession is most definitely a hindrance in terms of faith in God. It is not love of money that Jesus is addressing. This is a faith question. Is this man ready to trust the answer that Jesus gives? The disciples are clearly disturbed by this turn of events, and Jesus uses this moment to teach his disciples. As Jesus goes on, the disciples are struggling. It would seem that those with material wealth have more opportunity to live for God. The rich would seem to have fewer worries, and in recognizing wealth as a gift of God, more opportunity to live for God. How can, if a rich man cannot enter the kingdom of heaven, who can? Jesus' words about how hard it is for the rich to enter the kingdom of God is deeply worrying for many Christian people. We live in a wealthy nation. Though we do not always recognize how wealthy we are in world terms, we might ask ourselves, what if Jesus spoke to us as he spoke to that man? It is entirely human to have such doubts, to be as troubled as the disciples are. What Jesus declares is that, yes, this is humanly impossible, but it's not impossible for God. With God, all things are possible. And here we are called, we are back to that call to a childlike faith. I remember one of my children many years ago telling me how much they longed to be a grown-up. And when I asked why, to summarize the reason, they explained to me that adults have the freedom to do exactly what they want to do. That adults aren't having to do things. And I did try and explain that adulthood was not like that. And I wonder how many adults look back to the days of childhood and freedom compared to life as an adult. But of course, there are some things you cannot explain to a child because they've not experienced it. Going back to the quotation from C.S. Lewis, the desire to be very grown up is that desire to be in control of our lives in terms of physical, mental, and spiritual. The fear of childishness is the fear of embarrassing ourselves, of being seen to be foolish. In many ways, the freedom that a child has is not being in control, because that control brings all sorts of pressures with it. And children aren't embarrassed to ask questions, even though as an adult we wouldn't dare ask the same kind of question. It is not childish to be childlike. A childlike faith is to live by trust in God, to know God as a loving Father who wants the absolute best for us, to see in Jesus a pattern for our humanity, and to know the presence of God's Spirit within us and around us. Going to Jesus' words, let the little children come to me and do not hinder them, for the kingdom of God belongs to such as these. I tell you, anyone who will not receive the kingdom of God like a little child will never enter it. And as I thought about that and thought about little children, this childlike faith is not a faith without questions. Have you ever been out for a walk with a toddler and tried to answer the questions? Because no matter what you say, there's always another one. What kind of bug is that? Well, it's a ladybird. Well, why is it like that? And it's why and why and why, and we can, and I wonder how many of us, because I say so. And God never says that. Anyone with experience of young children know that they are full of questions. We are most definitely allowed to ask questions and not be afraid to ask questions. We can ask the daftest questions of God because we are his children. Faith, of course, is the readiness to accept the answers. We are called to have a childlike wonder in our faith, whether it is our wonder in our Creator and creation, whether it is our wonder at what Jesus did for our salvation, whether it is the wonder of God saying that his Spirit can dwell within us, whether it is the wonder of God saying, I've given you the gospel to share. All of these things are a wonder. And if we want to say, but look, God, why and what? That's right too. In that New Testament reading, we have the children being accepted and blessed by Jesus. And we have that man so caught up in an adult world that he hasn't got the wonder there. And that's what we're meant to be looking at. Have a real childlike wonder in the faith that you hold. When I became a man, I put away childish things, including the fear of childishness and the desire to be very grown up. Amen. We sing now hymn 527, Lord, make us servants of your peace. Is now going to lead us in our prayers for other people.
Let us pray for others. Lord God, your love for humankind, present in the beginning of all things, extends through history and touches all our lives. Your love sees failings and forgives. Your love feels pain and wipes away our tears. Your love knows grief and comforts the sorrowful. We lift before you today those in power. Give them the courage to act with compassion and wisdom to govern with humility and not to think only of their own gain. We continue to pray for diplomatic moves and a peaceful settlement between Ukraine and Russia that will bring this war of attrition to an end. For the people of Gaza, where areas are now confirmed to be in famine and a failure of humanity, as stated by the United Nations, we pray in desperation, merciful God, for an end to this horror. As anti-immigration demonstrations and counter-protests take place this weekend, may we always recognise your spirit, your love and compassion, merciful God. In the refugee family seeking safety from violence, in the migrant worker bringing food to our tables, in the asylum seekers seeking justice for their families, in the unaccompanied child travelling in a dangerous world. We pray for your church, Eternal Father, to be bold in truth, generous in mercy, and tireless in the work of your kingdom. We bring to you our own community and the rhythms of daily life within it, for the season ahead, for the return to school and to college, for our farmers working hard at harvest time, for those who work in health and care, and all who strive to keep our communities safe and well. We remember those close to us in our own lives and the love that we share. We bring to you all who are hurting, all who are grieving, who are weary. Let your presence be as close as breath, and your love as sure and steadfast as a rock. As we take a moment in silence now to pray for all those who we hold in our hearts and minds today, gracious Father. Loving God, help us to reflect your love in all that we do. May we always support one another in prayer and in action. For all of this, we bring to you in the name of our Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ. Amen.
We have heard a joyful sound, Jesus Saves, hymn number 249.
Jesus, save us. Jesus, save us.
to love and to serve. And may the blessing of God Almighty, Father, Son and Holy Spirit be with you and remain with you always.